Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how wholesomely are you living? And I mean wholesomely by whole. Your life encompasses the wholeness of opportunity to be whole, to allow yourself to be as full in life and competent and healthy as you can be. And so to do that better, we can always do better at being wholesome, we are going to be speaking with the author of a book called Gates of Power, Actualizing Your True Self. And so this is about understanding the different ways that we create wholeness in our lives. And so I'm going to speak to the author now of Gates of Power, Nomi Bahar. Hi, Nomi. Welcome.
Hey, Peter.
So I'm so glad that you come on the show and talk about these gates. There are seven clear gates that you've identified.
Yes.
That we have to really employ in our lives and pay attention to.
Yes.
And what are those gates?
Well, you know, I want the audience to imagine that they are a garden. And around the garden, there is this beautiful structure that has seven panels, long windows, kind of a beautiful gazebo with seven big long windows. Those are the gates, portals of the inner being, the inner self, that are carrying, channeling our expression.
Right. It's a way of expressing ourselves in the world is through seven different ways.
Through those seven channels.
Right.
And what are they? So the gate of the body. Obviously, we express ourselves through the body. We know that. It's a field of energy and expression.
And we need to manage our bodies.
And we need to, yes, we need to make sure that that energy field, that gate, is open and unblocked.
And a lot of people are not conscious of their bodies at all.
Right, right. So you have to take care of the body. And you have to unblock and free the energy field, which is the body. And you need to breathe and express through the body. So it's a beautiful gate. It's a very powerful gate. A lot of people, as you said, are not eating right, not sleeping right, not breathing, not exercising, not listening to their body, not really hearing the messages of the body to them, because the body and the mind and the psyche and the feeling are all one.
And putting the effort into taking care of the body properly with all of those. You know, it's an effort, and a lot of people don't want to be bothered.
Right. But it is the temple. It's your chariot. So if that is not working, you are not working. It's not, you're not whole.
Right.
So the next gate is the gate of emotions. And we all know how wonderful emotions or how difficult emotions can be.
Let's call them feelings, too.
Feelings, yeah. Emotions, like in motions, like feelings in motions, you know?
Okay, yeah, so active feelings.
feelings in expression, you know.
Okay.
So the gate of emotions, how many of us are not attending to our emotions? A lot of us have difficult emotions, residues of trauma and hurt and betrayal and painful stuff. And obviously, we don't want to touch that. That's very painful. But when we don't touch that and it sits there, it sits like a big stone. And the gate is blocked. And so the energy is blocked.
So it's really good to become better at managing our emotions.
Yes.
So we can have them flow freely.
Yes.
There's a school of thought about health and sickness, actually, from a school in France called Total Biology. And they've identified every single ailment that anyone can have, and they've found the specific psycho-emotional cause of every ailment in the body that's true for everybody. So if you have a certain disease, they know automatically that you've had this emotional conflict in your a particular emotional conflict in your life. And it's a very advanced science.
I love that. I love that. But, you know, even the ancient Chinese already, like, you know, the acupuncture, they are very good with that. I remember reading the texts.
They understand the different energies of the body and what emotional conflicts relate to different organs and glands and meridians. Sure.
Yes, they do. Sure. And it's fabulous. Or even the homeopaths, they ask you millions of questions, and a lot of the questions are emotional.
And what total biology teaches is that we all have emotional glitches. There are areas in all of our lives where we've blocked out certain feelings, certain experiences. We just can't hold them comfortably. And what happens is that we put them in our bodies. So they end up being carried around by us as diseases, as limitations, physical limitations that fester. And so we can't really be that perfect at managing our bodies or our psyches, our feelings, like as we'd like to be, because we all have some limitation or another. And so what they recommend is to work on it in a constant expression of emotions. If your brain knows that you're able to manage it, the brain then won't say, I better hide this away in the body.
Right. So in Gates of Power workshops, we do a lot of emotions and expressions, and people move and sound and cry and holler and sing and dance and, you know, write and draw.
And they make their feelings okay.
Oh, yes. It's very okay. And we know that we want to move the feelings. We want to establish a flow. And when they move, they move. They heal themselves, they move. There is a beautiful book that's called, and I forget her name, and it's terrible that I do forget her name. Carol, I think something. Buried emotions don't die, meaning emotions never die.
Right, and as I said, they can fester in the body and cause physical ailments.
Right, because they don't die. Right. You just think that, oh, I'm not going to pay attention to that one. I'll just bury it. But no, it's going to shout from the grave, so to speak.
And actually, our brains, which are the masters of managing all this, it's on the subconscious level, think they're helping us because our emotional upsets often are so strong that our brain is afraid that we're going to mess up in our life being so upset. So it says, I'll calm you down, I'll store it away in the body, and we can just forget about
it
for now.
It's a survival mechanism.
Right.
So we need to open this gate. The gate has to be open.
Okay.
The next gate is the gate of dialogue. Now, what does that mean? It means the gate of communication with ourselves and others.
Okay, so with ourselves is one thing. It's very important. We do need to think about ourselves and express to ourselves in important ways that we might be afraid to.
Yes.
We might be afraid to see certain truths in ourselves.
Right. So in here, I want to speak about the three aspects of the self. I define them as one is the emotional self, where all the emotions live, recognized, unrecognized, repressed, or unrepressed. All the emotional experiences live there. The defensive self, which is a survival construct that we've created when we were pretty young, to survive our families, to get love. Because as kids, we must have love, and we will do anything. We must feel safe, and we must feel like we are loved and approved of. So we're going to do anything that our parents or teachers or...
That doesn't mean we're wimps, because we might really object to our parents and become very difficult children.
Right. That's another defense. You know, we're screaming out for their love.
Right.
We're screaming. We're saying,
we're
love
arguing
me.
To them.
See me, accept me, talk to me, or whatever it is that we're screaming at them. That's a survival method. It might not work that well for us, but or it might. I don't know. But that's the defensive, the protective coat that we have, or protective skin or armor that we have woven around our vulnerability. And then we have the expanded self, thank God. That is...
Intelligence,
compassion. That's God within, you know, or cosmic consciousness within us. And that is a beautiful energy. And we need to, most people don't harness that. They're not sitting and living and breathing and being in their expanded self enough.
They're too used to defending themselves.
Exactly. So the two other ones, emotional and defensive, we can think about them as more child selves, younger versions or of ourselves, or human selves. And expanded self is our wisdom.
Is the adult in us.
It's the adult. It's the healer. It's the witness. It's the guide. It's the parent. It is the one that needs to take hold of this little team and work with them.
All right. A lot of people would agree that that would be great if they can only hear from that side of themselves.
Right.
And they can't. And so that's why they do need help from others. And they can reflect the wisdom of others. So they can hear it. And they, you know, so there are a lot of people who are into finding good answers out in the world, like from you and from me. And we offer people our wisdom, and the fact that they can hear it and agree to it means they already know it. They just haven't found it in themselves.
Right. But in my training, we do a lot of meditations, a lot of inner dialogue practices, exercises, because I am a very firm believer that you need to own your own expanded self. You need to find those big shoes, and you need to step into that, because that's the part that's creating your vision, your life path, and is coaching the two other parts of you.
It has to, from what I see, it has to come from allowing our self-love.
Of course.
And a lot of people can't.
Well, you have to train yourself to, you know, you love other people in your life. I say that to people. Well, tell me who you love most in your life. And they tell me their son, their daughter, their sister, their mother.
And they forgot themselves.
Okay. You know how to love. You know how to love.
But they forgot themselves.
All right. Put yourself in the mix. Take that loving ability that you have, that compassion that you have, dedication, and
treat yourself to it.
Treat yourself that way.
Yeah.
So it's really a question of we're just not used to it. Nobody's telling us that it's okay to love ourselves. Who tells us that? Nobody told me that.
Right. Right. We have to learn from reading your book, Gates of Power.
Yes. That it's okay to love yourself. Not only it's okay, it's a must. Because if you don't really learn that, how to love yourself, your heart is not really open to love others as fully and as unconditionally as you can.
Right, because you very likely then will be living very defensively.
Exactly. And you have to love your defensive self too. I say love. You love the two kids.
Well, one thing you talk about in the book is you idealize suffering.
I idealize it?
Yeah, because you know that we can't get away from it, so you're talking about blessing it.
Yes, blessing it. Oh, yeah.
That's idealizing it, because we want to understand that it's a pathway.
It's a pathway, right. Yes, and it's a good one. Because, you know, how many people come to you or to me because they come to have such suffering inside of themselves that they can't stand it anymore. And they come, I mean, they come to me crawling, right? Because right. they've lived 30, 40, whatever years trying to deny their suffering, doing all the defensive tricks.
And hating it.
And hating it, and you know, and then
and hating
they go,
themselves,
and hating
because
themselves.
it's really a lot of people, you know, they say to me, you know, God hates me. Well, you know, we are the representative of God,
right?
And so, therefore, we hate ourselves,
right. So I'm saying, it's good. I mean, in the Jewish tradition, there is a saying that if I translate it, would say something like, suffering tenderizes the soul. You kind of become humble. You kind of like come to ask for help and to show that you are not.
As long as you're not playing it out in the victim role.
Well, that's different.
Too professionally.
Yeah. No, that's different. Being a victim chronically to get attention and approval is a defensive mechanism.
Yeah, but and it's also a self-importance of
right.
It's poor me,
right.
I'm so important because it's poor me.
Right, but you know what, Peter? Behind that drama of the poor me, there is a real suffering. And I go to clients, I go, okay, poor me, what's behind that? What's your real pain?
I would say it's a lack of self-love because they weren't nurtured properly.
Right. So if that's your real pain and that's your angst, so to speak, let's begin. Begin to love yourself. Then you're not going to be poor me because
But they need help to do that.
Of course. But I say pour love on yourself, so much so that your cup runneth over.
And sometimes you have to show people how to do that.
Yes, very much so. Because yeah. I think that is the biggest pain that we have, that somehow we didn't feel loved and we never learned to accept and love ourselves.
Well, you and I, when we work with people, we're actually loving them.
Right.
Because we wouldn't bother otherwise.
Right.
So
our
effort to help others is actually an expression of our love for them.
Right.
And our respect for their souls.
Yes. And they get that.
Exactly.
They feel that. And that's the beginning of self-respect because they begin to feel your love and respect for them.
Right.
And that I say to everybody, I'm holding you in your highest possibility. I am holding you there. And if I say anything, it's because I want you to accomplish that, to actualize that, because I see that. And I speak to them a lot about their potential.
Isn't that wonderful? You know, I love to do that for people. I love to find their strengths.
Yes.
And show them how wonderful they are.
Yes.
In ways that they're not seeing it themselves.
Yes. So in the beginning, you have to do that. Mm-hmm. But then you have to give them tools to begin to see that themselves because they need to become self-sustaining in terms of loving, nurturing.
They need the new language of themselves.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you're teaching them that. So we are at the gate of dialogue. So that inner dialogue affects your dialogue with everybody, right? So the healing starts within. And then we do a lot of exercises and processes around communication. How do you communicate? Do you communicate from your defensive? Do you communicate from your emotional? Do you communicate from your expanded?
And you watch the language that people use.
Right.
The words. Right. There are so many people who use very negative words.
Right. But how do you listen to them to hear their truth underneath their defensiveness? And how do you not hook your defensive into theirs? How do you listen from compassion and from the heart and respond from your expanded
right.
so that your expanded can touch their expanded?
Right. And then it's really about knowing the psyche that we're relating to others from.
Right.
You know, if we are fearful and we're afraid someone is going to harm us in some way through their language, through their words, intentions, then we immediately go to the defensive.
Right.
And so can we take charge of that? Can we take charge of the conversation?
Right.
So that we can advance it to a higher level
exactly.
of inclusiveness.
Exactly. But, you know, if you're not in really ownership of your defensive and you haven't worked to soften it and calm it and heal it, then you're going to shoot from that without knowing.
Right.
And then you're going to engage the person's defensive and you're going
right.
to clash. That's
right.
the clash.
Right.
So should we go to the next gate,
sure.
which is the gate of creative expression?
Let's do that.
That's a fun gate. That's the gate of play and art and culture and adventure.
It's self-discovery.
Self-discovery through creativity.
Right.
And expression.
I mean, by creating, we get to see our own magic.
Yes. And it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So I say to people, don't neglect this gate, even though it looks like it's kind of childlike. Go to museums, go to nature, have fun, be silly, play, have adventures, just have fun.
But I think the serious nature of this is to discover our own resourcefulness in life in general.
And our playfulness.
Exactly. But
the childlike self.
Right, but through that, we get to experience our expression in a more powerful way
oh, yeah.
because we're allowing that child to come through.
Right.
But then we get to see how powerful that is.
Yes, yes. And it's very fulfilling. It's very nice. The next gate is the gate of life path. Now, that is the path that you chose this life to learn your lessons and to be a contribution. So it's how are you taking your talents, your skills, your abilities, all your gifts, and creating them into a contribution to yourself and others.
So we're really just talking about discovering your purpose.
Purpose, lessons, and...
Well, the purpose of what lessons we're here for.
Yeah, the lessons are, we all have them, you know.
Right.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes the lessons are what you're supposed to contribute. Your lessons are...
That's where our wisdom is.
Is where the
so
wisdom
we contribute from our wisdom.
Yes, yes, yes. So these two are very connected.
Yes.
But, you know, a lot of people are not on their true life path because they're doing what their mommy, daddy, whatever society expected them to do, and they're not really feeling like they're contributing.
Right. And a lot of people, when they have their midlife crisis, they switch careers.
Right, right, because they want to finally be expressive of their inner, deepest, most self.
Right. So it's a wonderful journey to discover who we're supposed to be in
yes,
this life.
Yes, 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 and be expressive of it. And because that's our gift to others and to the world.
To contribute who we're supposed to be.
Yes, and express that and enjoy that
right.
and share that. The next gate is the gate of silence, which is a wonderful gate, you know, because we don't really know how to be still. And in the stillness, in the meditative stillness, we can really, really feel vibrationally that we're one with all creation. We can feel that.
Now, you're coming from a place of a lot of meditation.
Yes.
And then there are a lot of people who think, oh, that's not a lifestyle I want, to be meditating all the time. But silence doesn't mean that you need to meditate.
No. You can walk and be meditative. You can wash your dishes and be meditative.
Well, contemplation isn't necessarily meditation. Contemplation is just reflection.
Right.
Quiet reflection time.
But I'm talking about being present. I'm talking about being present. Mindfulness. I'm not talking about contemplation. So mindfulness is being very present in the here and now without the mind chattering, without the monkey mind being all over the place.
And sometimes being aware of the monkey mind is valuable,
is okay,
too.
Of course, because it's there. And, you know, but I'm saying if we can be a little still, whether it's the regular traditional meditation or just the being very present and mindful in our moments, then that's how we learn.
It's hard to be self-aware if you can't experience silence.
Right. And it's hard to feel the connection between yourself and everything if your mind is bombarded with thoughts and concepts and all kinds of things. I mean, it's like too many.
We're talking about wholeness. So to be whole, you really need to be expansively aware.
Yes.
And not just busily focused on minutia.
Yes, 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 yes. And the last gate is the gate of knowledge. Now, that's a profound gate, and there's no end to that. And in the curriculum, in the work that we do, I encourage people to continuously learn. They always have, they have commitments. They have commitments.
I don't think that gate is a tough one for people listening to the show. Otherwise,
they wouldn't be listening. They love the knowledge. Yes,
right.
But I'm saying that with my clients, I say your commitment under this gate is to continuously find things that you're passionate about and learn about them in depth, because all knowledge will bring you to the knowledge of truth. So, no matter what it is, art, whatever, you need to continue. And people bring, they do little teachings, because under this gate, I ask people to bring teachings, to bring what they're learning, and to teach the whole group about it.
Yeah, and I think it's to be able to live in knowledge means to be able to live in a lot of questions.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the more questions we have, the more we learn.
Yes, yes, right. Yes.
So, we're talking.
You know, by the way, the book defines those four grand questions: who am I? Why am I here? What's in my way? And how do I get there?
Okay.
So there's a lot of discussion.
And the biggest question is, how do I get there?
How do I get there? Well, the book offers a path.
Right, but that's what a lot of people are always questioning. Is and you're using the gates of power to get there. So these seven gates that we've looked at are the way to optimize ourselves and be more powerful in our lives.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
And so how can people contact you, get to know, buy the book?
The book is on Amazon. It's Barnes & Noble's, Book A Million, you know, all these big chains have it. And to look at the website, the three W's dot gatesofpower.com.
That's great. And your name is Nomi Bachar, B-A-C-H-A-R. Almost a silent C. Almost. And I want to thank you for being a guest on Energy Steel. It's great talking with you.
I love talking to you, Peter.
Oh, good. Thank
it's
you
easy.
So much.
It's always
we
so
have fun, don't we?
So easy. Yeah, yeah.
That's great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Steel at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heart river.org or 212-222-7748. I'd really love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening.